Everything sold as is, all sales final, in this final pre-move-out sale. Right here at 3729 Cahuenga Boulevard West in North Hollywood, near the Lankerson Boulevard exits of the Hollywood 101 freeway. Again, Saturday, March 9th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., we'll see you here.
You're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, and on the web at kpfk.org.
From the sunny, ice-cold curves of Angeles Crest to the beautiful rolling shoreline of PCH, this is The Car Show, celebrating its 51st year on the air here at KPFK 90.7 FM. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. Please go to AutoWeek.com, click on all my articles. Thank you very much. I am joined by very capable, wonderful co-hosts, Michelle Spencer from our Orange County Bureau. Michelle owns not one, but two Mazda Miatas, is a practicing attorney, passed the bar on the very first time, and knows the difference between an apex and an appendix. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here again, Mark.
And we are joined also by our good friend Ricardo Rodriguez Long, and he is another automotive journalist veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, current president of Hispanic Motor Press Association. Ricardo Rodriguez Long, welcome to The Car Show.
Muchas gracias nuevamente por estar con ustedes. Yeah, no, it's always a lot of fun to share the microphones with car, you know, with gearheads. So we have so much to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. And as always, we're going to dive right into it. We're going to start with calendar items. Michelle Spencer was prowling the internet and whatever other sources there are for information on this. And she is going to hit us with several cool events coming up. So get your pens and pencils ready, Michelle. Go for it.
Yes, starting tonight, if you want to go out and see some racing, get yourself out to Irwindale Speedway. Their gates are opening at 4 o'clock tonight for their opening night. And they're going to have a session where you can have autographs and photos with the drivers, the racers, at 4:45. And racing starts at 7 p.m., get $20 out and you'll be ready for your adult admission. $10 for kids ages 6 to 12. And if you have a kid 5 and under, they get in for free. And $10 for your parking. And if you want to know what they're doing, they're showing Enduros, Legends, Spec Racers, Spec Trucks, Pro Trucks, Street Stocks, Crown Vics, those are my favorite, and Junior Spec Late Models. With
are those actually Ford Crown Vics?
Yes.
So it's like a big 1970s police chase movie scene for that.
Right. That's right. With all the windows out and everything. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's great. They should have a couple of perps handcuffed in the back.
They should.
You know, I just mannequins, not actual people. Don't write in. Ricardo has a thought on that.
Actually, there was a group a couple of years ago at Willow Crown Vic. They decided to do.
There is no end of Crown Vics out. Board operator, our good friend, he races it though. But maybe about this, get a Crown Vic. That's what you call a tangent, Michelle.
All right.
What?
Firework for everyone.
Bring them all. They'll enjoy it. KeepLSpeedway.com for more information. But that's not all. Michelle's got a lot more. What's next?
So if you like supercars, there's a new meet going on down here in the OC at the Irvine Spectrum Marriott on Irvine Center Drive. Tomorrow morning, March 10th, it gets underway at 8 o'clock. And it's going to be all supercars and hypercars. And they will have the coffee shop available for if you want anything to eat or have some coffee during the meet. And it's called Supercars at Sunrise.
Okay. I find interesting the coffee shop name. It's
Paulin and Poor. Yeah.
The Paulin and Poor Cafe.
That doesn't sound good if you have allergies.
So bring your Zyrtec with you.
Here's Zyrtec. Now, do you think this is a brand new event, right? This will be the first one?
Yeah, and I do know the guys who are organizing this. They've done a lot of different smaller car events involving supercars and high-end German cars and things like that. So this is just another thing that they're trying to get rolling.
I just wonder if they're being optimistic that will be all supercars and hypercars, or are they going to relax the definition of those terms?
You know, that's interesting. Let's hope.
They're probably, you know, down in the OC, there are a lot of those hypercars and supercars. Listen, where a lot of them live.
So. Newport Beach and Newport Coast is packed full of them. So
packed full. Well, all right. Yeah. So are you going to go? You going to be there?
We'll see. Maybe. Okay. Depends on my night.
It's from 8 to 11. So,
yes.
You know, you could get up by 10:30, I think, and make it down there.
Yeah.
It's too far for me. Closer to me. No, too far from everybody is our next event. Saturday night, March 9th, the LLKQ Pick Your Part presents the craziest show on dirt. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about the Night of Destruction. Now, this is not something that is real destruction. This is fun destruction. Nobody loses. Everybody wins. It's clean family fun. And racing will feature figure eight races. We're talking, of course, about Paris Auto Speedway on Saturday night. That's tonight, March 9th, Paris Auto Speedway. Now, it's not P-A-R-I-S. It's P-E-R-R-I-S. All of our friends out in the Inland Empire, way east of us, we have all been to that track. And I think we all agree and have said before that's an excellent facility. It is a clay surface dirt track, a half mile oval. There's a lot of room out there, and they're going to pack it with figure eight races, a crazy figure eight trailer race. So you have to really be sure about how long your trailer is before you head out there. The no holds barred demo cross and what they describe as zany double deckers. Now, that is exactly what it sounds like. They weld on another car on top of the race car, probably a Crown Vic, I'm guessing. And they weld it to the roof, and they paint them up really nicely with only the finest rollers and brushes to get the paint on. And there's a rough and tumble mini stock race, and it's going to be smashing and crashing. That's without the G on the end. That's how you know that it's good. From the start of the show at 7 p.m. all the way to the final checkered flag at about 9:45. Your kids will love it. You want to get your kids, you want to keep them off the street. You want to keep them at the racetrack, and you want them to see a lot of good old American smash, crash, and bash. And everybody will have a good time. Spectator gates open at 5 o'clock. You can come out early, bring the kids to the track to get autographs from the demo derby drivers. Can you imagine? That'd be pretty cool. You're a demo derby driver at Paris, and people are asking you for your autograph. Adult tickets, $20. Kids 6 to 12 get in for $5. So that's cheaper than Irwindale. And children under 5 are admitted free, because it's so important that we bring our children to the racetracks and show them what racing is all about. There are plenty of tickets available. Everyone at the ticket window on Saturday. This event will not sell out, they promise us. So that's tonight, Saturday night, March 9th. The Pick Your Part presents the craziest show on dirt, Night of Destruction. There is no way you want to miss that. However, if your sensibilities are a little more frou-frou, your taste in automotive things is a little more elevated, Michelle, where can those people go?
Yes. The very next morning, March 10th, you can go tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So you can do both of these.
Yes,
you could. That would be a weekend. That would be absolutely 24 hours to remember.
Right. Because you'll get home by, 11 o'clock, right? Then go to next morning, go down to a Flight Legacy Cars and Coffee for German Car Sunday. Why not? Starts at 7:30. I usually get there at 8 if I'm going to go. There's free coffee and pastries always there on site. And you can just bring your mug along with your Porsche, your Audi, your Mercedes. I was hoping somebody would bring an NSU Wankel, but that's just me. Whatever you have, bring it. Even though I don't have a German car at the moment, I still go to these things, and it's just fun.
As a lawyer, aren't you required to own a Mercedes?
Well,
isn't that a state law? Okay, so where is this again now? March 10th, tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. on. Where is that?
This is at the Flight Legacy at Tustin.
So right next to the Lion Museum on the north side of the John Wayne Airport, or what used to be called the John Wayne Airport. Have they changed the name of that airport yet? Did they dig something up about them? No,
they did dig some things up, but people are like okay with it.
Okay. Well, it's Orange County.
They're okay with it.
Okay. Do you have a street address? But I guess people could find it very easily.
It's Flightway. It's on Flightway.
It's right next to the Lion Air Museum. So look that one up and you'll be able
I really like the airplanes in that museum. It's just a wonderful place.
Yeah, they have a B-17. You don't see a lot of those. Ooh. Our good friend and a friend of the show, he's been on here several times, Alex Exidius. He was a flight engineer on a B-17 during the World War II, and he was in the top ball turret, so he was shooting up at the guys up there. He said he was very good at it. So, Alex, if you're listening, hello. Okay, so we have one more thing, kind of, and Racy. That's coming up. Yeah, tell us, Michelle.
So this is, racing season is getting underway. So we're going to be plugging away at a lot of race items. And here's another one. Lucas Oil and NHRA Winter Nationals is coming March 21st through the 24th. You don't have to go all those days, but the finals are on Sunday, the 24th. This year, Tony Stewart's going to be racing. Now, this is a switch up because his wife, Leah Pruitt, has decided she's going to step away. And basically, Tony's taking her ride in the Top Fuel car. So this will be his big debut. So it's at In-N-Out Burger Drag Strip in Pomona. If you would like tickets for any of the days or get a pass for all the days, NHRA.com is where to go.
That's something you really want to see at least once in your life. You want to see a Top Fuel or a funny car. You want to be near it. When it starts, there's nothing else like it in the world. Parts of your body you didn't know you had will start oscillating at a frequency separate from the rest of your body. I found out myself that your teeth are not actually connected to your skull. They vibrate separately from your skull, and your whole thing is just shaking as these ground-pounding nitro-fueled, well, I guess they're not wheel standards. If there's wheel standards, you have a problem there, but it is an amazing, amazing thing to see. I think the last stat that I heard was 10,000 horsepower for these things, which is, I mean, that's more than my Lancia Appia. For sure.
Yeah, they make the ground. They create like a mini earthquake when they take off.
Yeah. There's nothing else like it, and you can go. I think you can go fairly cheaply if you go like on a Friday or something. And they're making the runs. So just go out there and get that sensation. There is nothing else like it. That's March.
And make sure you have a mask because
that helps. That helps. or stand on the. I don't know if they're still selling tickets to the west side of the track. There might not be because attendance is not what it once was. But if you're on the east side of the track near the pits. You're downwind basically, and you're right. Yeah. It would help to bring, and don't bring just like a COVID mask. You need to bring like a World
a
War II
mask.
Something from they wore mask, it yeah. that they wore at Chernobyl to keep to filter out nitromethane. You'll start crying, your nose will run. I think it produces more earwax too. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. So
and you get a little buzz off of it. Don't forget.
The only buzz I ever got was I wanted to flee, but I had to stand there because you could not admit it was a sign of weakness if you fled crying, screaming like a teenage girl. So we all stood there and took it like men.
Yes,
how
of
things
course
were
you did.
Back in those days.
Yes, and we liked it.
And we liked it. All right. Now, if here's something that has no nitromethane at all, you don't need a mask. You just go to it and enjoy it. There's a new exhibit at the Peterson Automotive Museum that opens March 16th. So it's not open yet. You can't go there now and see it. It opens March 16th. It is GM's Marvelous Motorama. We were all too young to remember the Marvelous Motorama because that was parading around in the 1950s. It was cars of the future. Everybody was so optimistic in the 1950s. We really felt there was nothing we couldn't do. We were going to go to space. We were going to be on the moon. We were going to be, cars would drive themselves. And here we are, how many years later? 70 years later.
Saying, we don't want driverless cars.
And still hasn't happened. The cars that are driving themselves are running over people. It's
That's
not
right. They're killing
quite
people.
What we thought it was. But back then, by golly, we believed that this was going to happen. And that was exemplified no better fashion than in the GM Motorama, which was a tour of these fabulous, what we now call concept cars. And they brought them all around the country. The display at the Peterson opening March 16th will include six dream cars from the collection of Joe Bortz. He is a guy back in, I think he's in Michigan. He's just a guy. He recognized that these were really cool cars. And I believe that GM said, okay, we're done with the cars. Just crush them or cut them in half or something. Joe found out where they were and saved them, some of them, and other people saved them. And they, some of them, I believe he had to put back together after GM told the guys to cut them up. So he is really kind of a savior of this GM Motorama. And it's his collection that's going to be displayed together for the first time. These concept cars originally toured the country in the 1950s and even the 1960s as part of the GM's futuristic Motorama events. This exhibit will include the painstakingly restored 1955 LaSalle II Roadster. Remember, LaSalle was kind of like the poor man's Cadillac. It was actually a brand of General Motors. I think it was a brand of General Motors, right? It wasn't a separate company. And it'll include that one. It'll include 1955 Chevrolet Biscayne. And both were cut in half at a junkyard after their promotional life came to an end. And Bortz restored them to their former glory. Also featured in the exhibit, a 1955 LaSalle sedan in its original junkyard fresh condition, as well as a 1953 Pontiac Parisien. Now, that's not like Paris, what we were talking about earlier. This is actual Paris, and a person in Paris would be called a Parisien. And so Pontiac thought that that was a way to fancy up this, Tri-5 style car. Also, 1953 Buick Wildcat. And a completely original and unrestored 1954 Pontiac Bonneville Special. All this will be at the new Peterson exhibit opening March 16th. So that'd be a lot of fun to check out. And of course, if you're in there looking at that, you could see all the other great stuff that's at the Peterson Automotive Museum. So looking forward to that. We have a couple more items here that we'll get to. How much time do we have in the section we're doing right now about calendar? Oh, we have enough time. We have a few minutes.
3 minutes.
Something for motorcyclists, perhaps.
Yes, indeed. Thursday, March 14th. Now, there's an event, a fundraising event called the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. That will happen. The ride is May 19th, right, Ricardo?
That's correct. May 19th.
Yep.
In the morning.
Ride itself is May 19th, but there is going to be a pre-fundraising kickoff party at the Bike Shed. The Bike Shed is a downtown eatery and hangout place in the industrial section of downtown LA. The Bike Shed, the address is 1580 Industrial Street in Los Angeles. You have to program that in, because as many times as I've been there, I always get lost trying to find it just from memory. But this is a pre-fundraising kickoff party for the coming Distinguished Gentleman's Ride, and that is an event that raises funds for men's health issues and also for suicide prevention. Now, I and Ricardo and myself have been associated with this ride, just as Ricardo rode in it, and I go down and cover it as a journalist. It is a great cause, wonderful people. Some of the nicest people I've ever met have been associated with it, and you can do it too. You can sign up and ride in this and also raise money for this very good cause, raises money for men's health and for suicide prevention. That will be at the Bike Shed on Thursday, March 14th in the evening, I believe. 1580.
Yes, that event is in the evening. But also, Mark, for those that don't know about this particular event, there is something that is very, very special, because it's not just your regular motorcycle ride. Everyone dresses up. Everybody dresses up in the 1950s, 60s style. Everybody's wearing a tie or a bow tie. So it makes it quite interesting when you see 300 motorcycles coming and everybody's wearing jackets and ties. It's pretty cool.
It's like the prom for motorcyclists for a good cause. So it's yes. It is a neat event. And the event itself, like we said, is May 19th. This is the pre-fundraising kickoff party, March 14th. I believe it's at 7 p.m. at the bike shed, if I'm not mistaken.
To find the bike shed, if you keep in mind Mateo on 7th Street, it's industrial is the next street. So it's not that easy to not difficult to find once you get used to it. But as a reference, you can use Mateo on 7th Street, and then you will be one block away.
All right. And just two more quick hits here. The Good Vibrations Breakfast Club every Friday morning at about 9 o'clock at Newcomb's Ranch. Drive up there, ride up there. It's a lot of fun. Donut Derelicts every Saturday at Huntington Beach at Adams Avenue Donuts parking lot. So check those two out. We're going to move on because we're into our second trimester here. I say that never having been in the trimester myself. We're probably going to have to go off the air because of that bad joke. But we have news items here. Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach construction has begun on the racetrack. Over the course of the next 50 days, crews will install 2,400 concrete blocks and 14 grandstands around the 1.97-mile, let's just say 2-mile course, 11 turns, 14 million pounds of concrete blocks, 4 miles of fencing, 17,000 of those bolted together tire stacks that they put on the runoff areas, 6 pedestrian bridges, 50 high-end hospitality suites, 9 giant vision boards, and for all we know, there's a partridge in a pear tree down there somewhere. Now, this is all in preparation for the race, which takes place April 19th through 21st. Formula Drift will run April 12th through 13th on a small section of that track. But April 19th to 21st, of course, you'll see IndyCar, IMSA, WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Stadium Super Trucks, those things that go flying through the air, Historic IndyCar Challenge. Tickets start, you can see a lot of this, if not all of it, for $40 for a Friday ticket. You can spend up to $185 for a 3-D pass, or you can buy your own IndyCar team for millions of dollars and go in that way. It's your choice. There's a lot going on there, but construction has started, folks. So if you happen to drive around Long Beach, you'll see a lot of trucks, a lot of forklifts, a lot of guys putting up that cabling and fencing and moving concrete blocks. You guys going to go to the race?
I think I only missed two or three in the last 30 years or so. It's a very special event. I used to live in Long Beach, so it was the local event. And it is really more than a race. It's a huge beach party. And also don't forget that in addition to all the car racing that goes on, inside the arena, there is also a big show for the family. There is music on Friday night, Saturday night, there are concerts. Mm-hmm. So it's much more than just the racing. It's a big beach party. And I think Jim McKillian and Chris Eslinger have done an outstanding job to keep this as one of the premium IndyCar events in the country.
I'm glad that Acura stepped up when Toyota moved to Texas. Acura stepped in and took over as a title sponsor of that event. That was good of them, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was great.
Okay. And now let's see. Next event, Ricardo and I are going to talk about the Dodge Electrified. What's it being called? The electric charger?
We have the charger, yeah. Is it the new charger? You know, as Chrysler has told us and Dodge has told us, their future is electric. And when you have a company that their niche is horsepower, famous Hemi V8, with cars generating 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,000 horsepower, how do you move from those V8s and 1,000 horsepowers into the new electric era with a two-door sports car? They built it. Have you seen it? I've seen it. I'm very impressed by the look of the car. It still retains that Challenger shape. The electric powertrains are just unbelievable. It's going to be all about the horsepower. I thought it was very interesting. One of the designers mentioned that we look at the market. I think it was Scott Kruger who said that. We look at the market and we saw these melted bars of soap as electric cars, and we wanted to do something different.
Okay.
Melted bars of soap. They're not catty at all, those designers, are they?
So I like the car. The way they look, it's great, I think. And this
going
to be
talking about the is it going to be called the Dodge Charger Daytona?
We have the Charger, and there will be the Charger Daytona, which will be even more powerful.
Okay.
And the thing that makes it interesting is that now you're going to have a two-door and a four-door version of the car.
Ah. So okay, so that, what about the Challenger? Any word on that? They're all going to be called Chargers?
There will be a Challenger. Again, this is, we're talking about a car that is coming in a year or so. So what we have seen are very early productions. No ideas about pricing or final details. But what we know is that there's going to be also in 2025 a version with a gasoline engine.
Right. That's going to be the Hurricane Straight Six, right? 2025
that's
this
right,
summer,
that's
I
right.
believe. Launching this summer. Two-door RT and Scat Pack models with four-door versions to follow in 2025. That's
now,
I know that because I read that at AutoWeek.com.
More than a year ago, when they introduced this engine, which came in the Grand Wagoneer, I remember asking one of the engineers, we're moving from this V8 Hemi to an inline six-cylinder twin turbo on a big SUV. I thought, like, this is an engine for like a sports car. And I'm sure he was biting his tongue when I was asking that, because he says, well, no, this is what we made it for. I go like, but an inline, this is, you know, with a twin turbo and so much power, this would be awesome on a sports car. So little did I know that I guess all that was already in the planning.
Yeah, it looks nice. I'm looking at a picture of it. And of course, we saw the electric version at SEMA, what was it, 2 years ago or something. And it doesn't look bad. It looks good. And I'm impressed. So maybe that guy was right. They don't all look like melted butter.
Soap.
Have to do, because they did not disclose the weight of the car, but I assume it has to be a heavier car probably because of all the battery systems. But something that is interesting is it has probably one of the biggest brakes in production today. I mean, 16-inch rotors. That's race car type rotor, 16. So obviously this 650 horsepower car is going to have to stop somehow. And they are working in collaboration with Brembo and providing these huge, huge brakes in the front and rear.
Because it's so heavy is why they need the big brakes.
Probably that's what I'm thinking, but yeah. It's going to be pretty quick. Everybody talks about that being a very fast and accelerating. And of course, it's an electric motor, so we have instant power. So that will make it very, very quick. It's interesting to see. It's definitely a different take on an electric car from what we have seen so far.
Yeah, and it looks great. So, you know, maybe the future won't be that bad. I don't know. Maybe it will be. Who knows? But one thing that is bad for our good friends at the Peterson. The world's car museums were just recently ranked by Auto Trader in the UK. And guess where? So they ranked, I think they came up with the top 100 or something like that. And guess where the Peterson, we have always been gone through life thinking the Peterson was the best car museum in the world, right? Guess where it ranked on this?
But I have to say, Mark, this
what
was done by Auto Trader UK. And we have to understand that car collecting and when we talk about automobile museums, the United States has a very particular way to show, display, and restore the cars that is very unique to the United States. When I go to the Segerstroms, for example, every car is immaculate. These are rotisserie restorations. Every nut and bolt is new. I mean, this car, you know, when you look at these cars that are 30, 50 years old and you go like, wow, I mean, this is better than a new car. Where in Europe, most of the museums are into preserving the original specimen. So I think that makes a difference. And I can understand from seeing, I've been in a number of museums in Europe, especially in England, where they tend to maintain the car in the original condition. So when they see a car that is being fully restored and the way that everything is presented at the Peterson, I can see where it might not be as appealing to them, but it would be to us.
Well, let's get the numbers out of the way. The Peterson finished number 37 worldwide, according to these guys in the UK. And of course, I think we all agree that guys in the UK don't know what they're talking about. But on that same list, the Nethercutt Museum, which is right here in Southern California, was number 2. So who knows? And I asked these guys, well, how did you come up with these numbers? And they said, Auto Trader analyzed Google Business. You have to say this with an English accent, but I can't do an English accent. Analyzed Google Business review scores, and they searched data to figure out where all these museums wound up. So basically, they looked at Google review scores and annual global Google searches. Try saying that 5 times after a couple of beers for over 180 auto museums around the globe. And the number one car was also an American car. The Gilmore Car Museum in Michigan was number one. Nethercutt was number 2. And of course, the famous Tiriac collection in Romania, which we all know and love, that was number 3. I mean, when I'm looking for something, I go to Romania when I'm checking out cool cars. I don't know about you guys.
Now that I hear about how they came up with it, basically the only thing they rated was the SEO of the web page. That's it. So if you had a pretty good web page with a very good developer, then you will be moving upwards in that ranking. And if you have a crappy website, you will be at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Now, we say this in defense of our beloved Peterson, but at the same time, our beloved Nethercutt was number 2. And, you know, these guys in Michigan, who I guess they're all on the same team as us, the Gilmore Car Museum, they were number 1. And in fact, I think, what is the total? 14 of the top 20 were United States, were American car museums. So should we start chanting USA, USA? No, I guess not. But anyway, American car museums were very well represented. I was just really surprised to see that the Peterson was not right up there. Romania's Tiriac collection. Come on.
I think they just need to work on their internet settings and the webpage settings and all that. That will improve their chances of moving up if that's the way things are measured today.
Well, and again, this was Auto Trader in the UK. So, and you know, who knows? Monty Python came out of the UK too. So let's just leave it at that.
And Land Rovers.
Land Rovers are kind of fun. You know, if you don't have to depend on them.
Anything that we should know from the list that, you know, was never on our radar.
Yes,
I think
indeed.
The Land Rovers, as long as they have a carburetor and a distributor, we're okay.
Okay. So a couple of other notable museums that popped up on that list. Hidden Gems, they called them. The Museum of American Speed in Lincoln, Nebraska, which I have also heard of. And I heard it was...
That's a beautiful place. If you have not been there, you need to go. Yes. Yeah, I've been there several times. It's a wonderful, wonderful collection. What's interesting about that place, and that's why I recommend very highly for someone that is into engines themselves. If you like to work on engines, if you like the intricacies of the engineering behind the engines, you need to visit this museum, because you will find, basically, it's a museum about racing. So there's a whole collection of just engines, and they have they have some prototypes from Ford. Don't ask me how they got these engines, but it's the whole history of the combustion engine in that museum. Some engines that were made for racing that are quite interesting and very complex. They also have, and now the name skipping my mind, a famous engine builder for the Indy 500.
The Novi, Duesenberg.
American builder that somehow copy a little bit the Bugatti seal in the head. But anyway, they have his original drawing desk in there, and they set up. And I'm trying to think and talk at the same time because I can't remember. But anyway, it's a wonderful museum. A lot of race cars. The whole history of sprint cars in America is there, and also one of the largest pedal collections. and perhaps the largest taxi model collection that I've ever seen in my life.
Taxis. So go to Lincoln and look at the taxis. So how did you wind up?
If you're there, might as well also stay an extra day and go to the Kawasaki factory and take an extra day and go to the tractor factory that I can't recall the name. But there's a lot of interesting things around Lincoln, Nebraska, if you're into mechanical stuff.
Who knew? And isn't that where the investor, Warren Buffett, is, or is he Iowa?
Well, he's from Omaha.
Omaha. Okay, Nebraska. Okay, yeah, we have to get him interested in cars so he spends some of his money on that. And, you know, builds his own museum.
He's an investor in NIO electric cars.
He is. And BYD, which we're waiting for those to show up. It's been a while on that. Speaking of American cars, Michelle, you're going to tell us about a recent development, or are you not?
You
put it on the list, man.
I'm ready. All right.
Go ahead.
Those of you who have Camaros, listen up, because the LAPD has reported that there's been a huge spike in thefts of Camaros and other American muscle cars by young punks who are going around with little devices where they can create a key fob or a universal and get into your car and steal it. They arrested a 16-year-old recently and he had this device with him. So they figured it out. They could not figure out why everybody was stealing Camaros, but apparently they're very easy to replicate the keys. So what they're recommending is, of course, don't leave it outside. That's the first thing. Second of all, there's these defeat devices where you can put it inside of a canister, like a little metal box. And that way, no one can use a transponder to get to your signal and reprogram it. And then another thing to do.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt for 1 second because you're talking about reprogramming the actual key, the key fob?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it the similar to doing a remote start function?
No, it's not.
It's an actual key fob.
Yes.
Okay.
So they said, don't keep your key fob in your car. And if you do, for some reason, like you have an extra in there or something, put it in a container. You can even put it in an aluminum can, they said, and it'll work.
Oh, okay. Just don't put it in a beer can because then the cops see that and, you know, it causes all kinds of other problems.
Yeah. And, you know, other things, you know, the steering wheel brackets that you can buy, whatever.
The club that you put on the steering wheel?
Okay. That's love. I have one of those.
Yeah, I have one in the garage somewhere too.
Don't they just saw through your steering wheel and remove that pretty quickly?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you'd have to look at it as the LAPD figured out that they can do these key fob creations in 3 minutes or less.
Wow.
It'll probably take them longer to saw through your club or some other device. So FYI, that's for people in the LA area.
All right. I will throw in another tip I have heard because I spend a lot of time reading about Angeles Crest Highway. And if you park your car at a trailhead and go on a long hike, there are guys who know that you're going to be gone for several hours and they jam a screwdriver into the car lock, pop it off, open your door, ransack your car, and they take like, you know, $4 or something. And you're stuck with a door that needs to be fixed for a lot more than that. So beware of that. I don't. Yes.
That almost happened to me. And actually, exactly what you said, we were going to walk into a trail. For some reason, I forgot something in my car and I only did about a mile or so. And I go, oh, shoot, I forgot something. And let me go get it. And as I start walking, then I see this pickup truck right next to my car, but not like, you know, not enough distance to even open your door. So I thought, that's strange. So as I get closer, this person, I try to walk where they couldn't see me coming. And this person gets out of the pickup truck and starts looking inside the car, goes, opens the trunk, gets some kind of tool. And then I started running. And then he saw me jump in the truck and left.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
The next, when I left there, because I thought, well, not a good idea to continue the trail here. So I better go.
Yeah.
At the next, what do you call it, the turnaround, you know, there was another car with the window was smashed.
Yeah.
You can see all the glass. And unfortunately, I stop and I look around. I didn't see anybody. And I thought, oh, this person, when they come back from their walk, they're going to be very, very upset.
Yeah. I've heard numerous reports about that. on Angeles Crest Highway. And it's, you know, it's just the dumbest. I mean, if you got a job at Taco Bell, you would make more money than you're going to be able to steal from this car. So it's just, it's unfortunate. But anyway, that's bad news. We're going to continue on with good news here at KPFK, the car show, because we've been driving cars lately. And Ricardo has, what is it, Ricardo? You have one of the brand that Michelle loves.
Yes, yes. Well, I was inspired to borrow this car by Michelle to see if it's
Michelle
really
is an influencer, see?
Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, you know, an RX-8, you know, a Miata MX-5. Let's experience the Mazda Zoom Zoom. So I got a Mazda CX-90, which is an SUV for the family with three seat rows. It did not feel, I think the Zoom Zoom was gone in this car, but what I see is that this brand, it's moving into a luxury segment, which is very different than what it used to be. So I was very impressed by the interior. I have to give a lot of credit. Every time you open the door and you encounter this leather, soft, and especially Napa hides all on the dashboard, and it was like, wow, this is a premium vehicle. So that I can see where they're moving in that direction. Go
ahead,
Mark.
Is this the one with the straight six engine?
That's correct. That is correct.
I was on the launch for that. That was I thought it was kind of cool for being as big as it was. I thought I was kind of surprised. I expected it to be kind of like a floppy thing that, you know, cornered on the door handles. And from that expectation, I was pleasantly surprised. So
I thought, you know, I expected more, and perhaps because I knew the CX-9 pretty well, which I thought it was an outstanding automobile. This one, the design, it looks nice, but I still think that CX-9 looks better. And that engine, 280 horsepower from six-cylinder 3.2-liter engine, it felt like it was enough, but not much. So perhaps the other version with more horsepower will feel different. But, you know, I live up in the hill, so I go up, you know, up and down the hill all the time. And that's what I really see cars when they have extra power or not. And you go to the Angeles Crest Highway all the time. I go on the other side towards Wrightwood. Same thing, going up to 6,000 feet of altitude and coming back. And I can, you know, it's an easy barometer to test the engines. But I'm not complaining, though. I thought it was very nice ride. But I can see that the brand is moving in a different direction, and not so much into the sport direction, but more into this premium segment.
Well, how are you going to make something this large sporty? I mean, you could look at the size of this thing, three rows. I mean, you can't. It's difficult to make that, you know, feel like a Miata, something that Michelle would like to buy.
Well, Aston Martin and SUV can do it. And so the Alfa Romeo with the Quadrifoglio. Okay.
I remember now. I drove it. When did I drive this? April. So almost a year ago. And maybe I was, because I was on the long lead for it. But I thought it was cool. It has a 3.3-liter mild hybrid straight six.
Yes.
And a plug-in hybrid with a 2.5-liter naturally aspirated gas engine. Now, I had the bigger engine, so maybe that made all the difference. But I was thinking...
It's very nice. It's very nice. So, again, it's very nice. I cannot complain. The way the ride is very smooth, super smooth. I like the interior a lot. The design-wise, I think that the shoulders are a little bit high, so it makes it look bulkier than the previous model. But what impressed me is that we're talking about a $40,000 car, a fully loaded car. It's 52, 53, I think. And you're getting a lot of car for the money. That I have to say. I was able to get about 28, 29 miles per gallon, which is very decent for that type of car. Yes, Michelle.
The safety ratings just came out, and Mazda's entire lineup is at the top for safety. So that's something to keep in mind too. Yeah.
So don't worry so much about being a great driver, because you're all going to survive.
Yeah. No, you know, no. You can roll it.
So overall, I like the car. It's but it just surprised me that it did not have the Mazda feel from other Mazdas that I've driven.
Okay, well, I got to say, my understanding is that all Mazdas that sold in the U.S., they go through our friend Dave Coleman, who is an engineer, and he's an engineer slash racer, and he set this up to be like a fun to drive car, fun to drive for the size. So I don't know.
How did you like the driving assistant tools that it has?
Which ones, like the ADAS systems, or?
Yeah, I to me the the system that maintains the car on the lane.
Lane keep. The lane turn keep those was things very... off. I no matter what manufacturer it is, I turn those things off. They drive me insane.
Well, this one I found it to be very, very intrusive. But again, there's just minor things, but perhaps I expected more of the zoom zoom feeling, which is gone. Right. But now the premium feeling is there, and that's pretty good.
Well, you gotta drive one of Michelle's Mazdas, and that'll bring you back.
Mm-hmm. I'll loan them to you anytime, Ricardo. Just don't take them in the snow.
Don't take them in the snow. Okay. And then another car that I got to, it's not even a car. It's an electric motorcycle. I'm in the middle of doing sort of three electric motorcycle reviews. And right at the very moment, I have something called the Rivid Anthem electric motorcycle that is designed and put together here in Southern California, in Orange County, in fact, in Hawaiian Gardens. It's down at Michelle. It's in your neck of the woods. Well, you're not in Hawaiian Gardens. Okay. But I think
that is not in Orange County.
Okay. Never mind. Anyway, correction. They say Orange County. Maybe that's like some shipping address or something. Anyway, it's a Southern California vehicle.
You go.
It's a very interesting little electric motorcycle. It costs $8,995. Should we just round that up to $9,000?
Yeah. Yeah, with tax. Yeah.
All right, with tax. So it is an affordable bike for many potential buyers. I think it is designed and intended for urban commuting, so short distances within a city, and you can get in and out of traffic. You can squirt around holes in traffic and have a great time doing that. I've been riding this thing for a week. Just today, I went because they said that it'll go up to 75 miles, right? What mm-hmm. a sucker I am. I went a couple days ago last Friday, thinking that it went 75 miles. I thought, Good Vibrations Breakfast Club up at Newcomb's Ranch, that's 26 miles away. If it'll go 75 miles, and of course, that's the dumbest thing to assume. This is all my fault. It is not the motorcycle's fault, but Newcomb's Ranch is like a mile high, so you have to go uphill in the freezing cold in an electric bike. And so I was determined to make it up there. I made, as you know, if you've been up there recently, a big portion of Angeles Crest is closed as they fix the landslide there. Ooh. So you go up to Angeles Forest, you make a left, you go to Upper Big Tahunga, you make a right, and it brings you back to Angeles. So I made all the way back up to the top of Angeles Crest above Upper Big Tahunga, and I said, there's no way I'm going to make it. I thought sometimes you could plug in an electric vehicle at Newcomb's because there is an electric outlet that faces the parking lot there. I don't know if the electricity is still on there. I kind of think maybe it isn't. So I just realized I'm not going to make it. They're going to find me in the spring thaw. Like, who was that guy they found at the bottom of the glacier mm-hmm. in Austria? Oetzel mm-hmm. man or something mm-hmm. like Oetzi. I'm going to be like one of those guys. You know, there's some archaeologist, probably a grad student, not even a real archaeologist, would find me clinging to my electric car. So I got down there and I was going back downhill at like literally 5 miles an hour, trying to preserve the battery as best as I could. And I thought there is a place at what's called Red Box up there. There's a sort of used to be a ranger station. I don't know what it is now. Surely they have an electric outlet. And I thought if I can just get through the closed off section of Angeles Crest, and I happened to be there when one of the Caltrans guys was opening the gate to drive through there. And I explained my situation. I got this electric motorcycle. I can't possibly make it all the way down, you know, I don't want to be, I thought about explaining about the Ötzi man from, you know, the Austrian glacier 5,000 years old. I thought, no, that's too much detail. These are all the things going through my head. And too much detail. I'll just say I need to get electricity. And I think I can make it from here down to Redbox and plug in. And the guy's going, yeah, you know, he's looking at me like I'm crazy. But this was, you could tell some people, I think most people want to help crazy people. They don't want to just leave them up there to be spat out of a glacier in another couple of thousand years. So he says, okay, and you can go down, but watch out for the construction. And so I'm going along at like 5 miles an hour, and it's reading out how many amps it's drawing, you know, and I could go, I was doing like 5 amps at about 5 miles an hour. And I'm like, I look like some, like in a video game where somebody has defaulted and is, you know, about to be kicked off of the video game. And I cruise right by the guys working on the landslide, and I'm thinking, I'm going to make it, man. I'm going to make it. And I come around a corner, and the guy, the Caltrans guy who let me through, God bless him, his name was Sam. And he's there, and he's waving his arm. He says, here, here. And there were two enormous power generators, portable power generators, because Southern California Edison happened to be working on the power lines that are strung over the mountains right there. And he had these two enormous things. They're driven by straight six Cummins diesels. And they're, I don't know how much power they were making. And on the side of that was an electrical cord. It was like a Twilight Zone. It was like science fiction. It was like, you know, this guy was an angel who descended from heaven with power generation. And I was able to grab that thing, plug it in. We had a lovely conversation for like an hour, me and the diesel mechanic who had to sit there and babysit these power generators. We talked about all kinds of things. We talked about our favorite helicopters. We talked about mining and thermodynamics and various kinds of electric generation and diesel engines and God knows what. And an hour later, I was charged back up to 59%. And I got out of there and I made it home to talk to you guys here on the car show. And
yay!
So you never know. You never know what is going to happen. So just keep that in mind. And if you see somebody who needs help out there on the road and they're not screaming at invisible people and they're not on drugs, there are people who need help. Help them out. That's what we can gain from this story.
God, Mark.
What do you guys think?
Well, you haven't told me how is the bike itself.
Yeah.
We know about the story.
How did you like the bike?
The bike's all right. No. Okay.
Did it have cup holders? I mean, tell us something about it.
It didn't have cup holders. There are some very interesting things about this motorcycle. Now, you think about a motorcycle. I'm calling it a motorcycle. You could call it a scooter. I don't know. It has a very, as I learned, a very small battery. I think, I don't want to misquote the size.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah. It is the dinkiest battery in the world. I mean, the Harley-Davidson Livewire has a much bigger battery than this. The Zero, the Harley has a 10.5 kilowatt hour battery. The Zero, you can get like 17 kilowatt hours just about in the Zero electric motorcycle. This one has a 4.3 kilowatt hour battery, but it's interesting because that battery, you pop it out, it has little wheels, and you wheel it into your office and you plug it in while you're at work. It has limited range, but it's versatile. And the frame, most frames are made out of tubular steel or tubular aluminum or tubular something. This is made out of flat sheet stainless steel that they bend and they screw together with fasteners and rivets. It's the craziest thing. It's very stylish. It costs, like I said, just under $9,000. And they're making an outreach effort with this thing. They are telling people, if you don't have a motorcycle license, we will take you, we'll pay for a motorcycle training class that's $250, and you can get this. You can learn how to ride a motorcycle, you know, a little bit safer than maybe you otherwise would. And that $250 is applicable. Try and say that. To the purchase price of your $8,995 Rivet Anthem. So it's got a reverse gear. It's got, what else does it have? It's got crazy stuff, man.
I like the styling.
The styling is quite nice. I first saw this bike at Electrify Expo, another event that will, I think it's in June here in the Southern California, but I saw it there and it stood out even there among all those funky design heavy scooters and bicycles and motorcycles. It looks really cool. It looks like sort of like an insect dart or something. I don't know, but it is nicely styled. And as soon as I get done writing it, it'll be at autoweek.com. So you can learn about it there.
I think we have to think that these are all these electric motorcycles. They are perfect for the inner city. You know, that,
yes,
that particular bike, it's, you know, it can take you from A to B very quickly. You know, you can go through traffic, you can park them on the sidewalk, and you have enough battery to last you the whole day. So I think they are sort of a niche, but especially for young people that want to a little bit of the freedom, hey, this is great.
It's a very innovative and a lot of fun, and just plan your trips really well. And you also want to plan to stick around for Bill Gardner's Rhapsody in Black. Great music you never even knew that you liked. Bill is going to be on right after the car show here, and we are looking for Michelle.
We can't forget, we launched our Facebook page.
Facebook page, look for us. The car show on 90.7 KPFK Facebook page. And we'll see you next week here on the car show.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for your donations and overwhelming support of this listener-sponsored community radio, KPFK. It is the support of listeners like you that keeps this station strong, fiercely independent, and powered by the people. Thank you from all of us at Pacifica Radio's KPFK 90.7 FM.
DJ Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro-Cubana, Cha-Cha-Cha, Afrobeat Highlife. It's all in the mix. Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. showtime. Tune in.
Support comes from Art Don't Sleep and Jazz Is Dead, presenting the Columbia psychedelic funk trio Valtas on March 25th at the Lodge Room in Highland Park. Their genre-defying sound is a blend of cumbia, surf rock, funk, and Turkish musical influences. Known for their dynamic and electrifying live performances, Balthus has become synonymous with energetic shows and captivating improvisations that transcend conventional boundaries. For tickets, visit jazzisdead.com.
Support comes from The Soraya, presenting the return of the iconoclastic Chicano performance troupe, Culture Clash. On May 4th, their all-new show, May the 40th Be With You, serves up an explosive cocktail of humor and satirical outrage that dares you not to laugh out loud. California natives Richard Montoya, Rick Salinas, and Herbert Siguenza have profoundly explored the evolution of Latinx culture on stages and screens.